When the authorities raided the building, they found an underground area with a bare mattress in the corner. As the story has unfolded, more and more suspects have been arrested in a case that the local sheriff thinks may reach the limit of God's forgiveness. This is the story of the Alabama torture bunker, and the details are worse than you even think. Hi, friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. When I first found this case, it was while I was researching my last one, the case of Gary Plochet, who killed his son's abuser. The Bibb County Sheriff's Department posted on Facebook about an arrest on July 19th, 2025, and one of the commenters said, "We need another Gary Plochet." That's because in February, Alabama Child Protective Services had tipped off the sheriff that they had concerns about children being abused in Brent. It's a town of about 3,000 people an hour outside of Birmingham. School employees had filed reports with CPS about the possibility of kids being abused at a home nearby. But when officials began investigating, they actually found something much more sinister, an underground torture bunker. The bunker was a concrete storm shelter built partly underground to protect people in case of a tornado or other severe storm. It was a rusty old building that you might expect to see in something like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Inside, a bare light bulb hung over a chest of drawers and a coffee pot. A metal chair sat facing a standing fan on the peeling floor. And pushed into a corner was a metal bed frame holding a dirty mattress without any sheets. It was located near the home of a relative of 21-year-old William McElroy, who was the first arrest in what would turn out to be many in this sordid trafficking ring. Two of the children taken in by protective services started exhibiting inappropriate behavior, which I take to mean sexual behavior that you wouldn't expect from young kids. When the children were interviewed, they said it was McElroy who taught them everything they knew. Not only did he abuse them, but he taught them how to do things to each other. They drew pictures of where he had hurt them. 21-year-old Dalton Terrell was arrested next on April 25th. 29-year-old Andres Trejo Velasquez was arrested on April 29th. 23-year-old Timothy St. John was arrested on July 22nd. Their charges were many and varied, and the sheriff said there were more to come. At least 10 victims were identified, children 2 to 15 years old. Most were under the age of 10. They had been drugged and taken to the bunker where their bodies could be sold to others. McElroy admitted to fondling a 6-year-old boy and having intercourse with one of the girls. Terrell allegedly paid to have intercourse with victims who were 3, 6, 8, and 10 years old at the time of his indictment. Trejo Velasquez allegedly sold nude images of the children in addition to selling time with them. The men were all living in mobile homes about a mile apart when they were arrested, but their connection to each other wasn't known at the time. What the sheriff did know was that the abuse all happened for more than a year, but there was a theory that it had started as far back as 2022. In July 2025, 3 more people were arrested, and this time, 2 of them were women. Rebecca Brewer, 29, Sarah Terrell, 41, and Ricky Terrell, 44, were all named as additional suspects, and now the sheriff was saying that animals had been abused too. You know what I mean here. In August, an 8th person, another woman, 26-year-old Olivia Elam, was indicted on 34 charges. The sheriff said, "I know God's forgiveness is boundless, but if there is a limit, we reached it." It was believed that these brokers or traffickers or whatever you want to call these monsters were making up to $1,000 a night. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security says that at least one of the suspects, Andres Trejo Velasquez, is a member of a gang known for child trafficking. The assistant district attorney said the suspects would drug the children so they couldn't fight back. The drug used was referred to as liquid G, G water, or liquid ecstasy. So I'm thinking it was GHB, the date drug. The children would be tied to the pole or bound to the bed in the bunker. They were whipped with belts or shocked with electric dog collars, forced to perform sexual acts while adults in the room laughed or took pictures. They'd sometimes be assaulted by multiple people on a nightly basis at $200 each time. And the thing that's worst of all to me is that some of the suspects were their parents and other close relatives, which means that the people who should have been looking out for them and the people who might have reported the abuse were the ones orchestrating it. And it's not hard to understand how they got away with it for so long. Just from the picture of the storm shelter, you can see how remote the area is. You can imagine how everyone here kind of knows each other, but no one wants to question anyone else's business because they don't want their business being questioned. You also wouldn't be surprised to learn that there's apparently a drug-related aspect to this. The authorities were already looking into some of these people for drug charges, but put that aside to make sure the kids were safe first. The children have been removed from their homes, are getting counseling, and are in the care of Children's Services. The people of Bibb County have come together on multiple occasions to pray for their physical and emotional healing, whomever they are. The children haven't been named to protect their privacy. The most we can hope for is that being drugged has helped erase the memories of this. At their first hearings, the suspects were either denied bond or all waived their right to be bailed out. I'm wondering if they chose to remain in custody because they knew what might happen to them on the outside. As she was being escorted into the courthouse in July, Rebecca Brewer said, "I didn't do this. I love my babies." Ricky Terrell told his attorney, "I've never touched a kid." He asked to hug his wife and was denied. On August 15th, seven of the suspects were in court again, and all of them pleaded not guilty or not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. The eighth suspect wasn't arraigned because his attorney had to deal with something personal. What gets me is watching some of them smile as they walk past the news cameras. It doesn't surprise me in a way that most of the suspects don't have criminal records in the state of Alabama, just traffic stops or minor drug charges. I was, you know, obviously lightly creeping on suspect Rebecca Brewer's Facebook page, and it looks like she might have been romantically linked to one of the other suspects, Andres Trejo Velasquez. So if they did this, my guess is that he used their own kids. She not only allowed it to happen, allegedly, but is accused of restraining the children and using a shock collar on their genitals as punishment. I found that Trejo Velasquez was also connected to a couple of the Terrells on Facebook, and the youngest Terrell was connected back to Rebecca Brewer. Reminder to take this with a grain of salt, but someone local said Ricky and Sarah are Dalton's parents. Rebecca is their niece or cousin. She has three kids with Andres, and Timothy is a cousin of McElroy's. I learned this on a Facebook post where Sarah bragged about her daughter being gorgeous, and you can imagine the comments on that. So yeah, it's just a bunch of people in a small town who knew each other and evidently knew that their friends would be down to hurt some kids for money. You just have to wonder who admitted it first. Imagine being at a barbecue at your friend's house and he's like, "So how about those two-year-olds, am I right?" to see how you would react. The sheriff said it's the worst case of abuse against children that he's seen in 33 years in law enforcement. The assistant district attorney said, "This is by far the worst case that I've ever had to deal with in terms of the type of abuse, the length of the abuse, and the ages of the victims that were abused." Because some of the children involved were 6 years old or younger, the suspects will get a minimum of life in prison without the possibility of parole if convicted. But one state representative and state senator are working on bills that would make it possible to put them to death in Alabama. Currently, under a U.S. Supreme Court decision, the death penalty is only applied when the victim has been killed. But this bill would make it so that anyone who assaults a child under 12 years old in a sexual manner could be put to death. A handful of other states have passed similar laws. The senator said, "The death penalty is meant to be a deterrent. And if passing this bill keeps one innocent child from suffering, it will have done its job. And if it sends even one child predator to an early grave, well, that works too." The only fear is that if predators know they'll face the death penalty, it incentivizes them to kill their victim so there's no one left to report the abuse. It could also mean that family members might be less likely to report abuse if they know it could result in the death penalty for their loved one. I know that's messed up to even have to think about, but you know, for example, how many wives are out there not reporting their husbands already because they don't want them being sent to prison. This case is definitely ongoing, and this may not be the last of the arrests we see. Unfortunately, with the kids being drugged, they may not be able to identify all of the people who abused them, but investigators think it could be as many as 20 other people. These first suspects are scheduled to be in court next on August 21st. One thing that really hits home for me is that William McElroy was arrested in February 2025, and that's when the bunker was first searched. When the authorities came back to raid it again a couple of months later, they found that someone had cleaned it out with bleach, but a dirty diaper was left behind. And it's just like, yeah, some of these kids were young enough that they were in diapers. These people were doing this, allegedly, to babies. I literally just cannot understand how and why humans can be like this. Like I mentioned before, the teachers of the kids who were in school did report the warning signs of abuse, like being absent for many days, poor hygiene, and behavioral issues. Child Protective Services tried to have the kids removed from their homes, but saw their initial concerns dismissed before one caseworker was finally taken seriously. When I see those signs in airport bathrooms with numbers to call for help if you're the victim of human trafficking, I'm always just like, wow, it's scary to think that someone in here right now might need to see this. But what do we do about kids as young as 2 years old who can't pick up the phone? We have to be the ones looking out for them. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.